Father, we come before you and would ask that you would remind us of how blessed we are. We are blessed because you did not desire to give us what we deserve. There is not an individual in this building that deserves your grace. We do not deserve your patience. We do not deserve your forgiveness. There is nothing that we could have ever done that would ever have caused you to feel like you owed us something. We are a motley crew of misfits. There are things in our lives, in the past, maybe even in the present, that dishonor you. And yet, in spite of all of that, you decided to set us free. And you sent the gift. When you become man and dwelt among us and was willing to go to the cross of Calvary in our place. And not only have you blessed us in that way, but you have blessed us to be a part of this great country, to live here and to enjoy the freedoms that we have, things that many countries around the world will never be able to enjoy. But oftentimes we take these things for granted, and sometimes we forget who we really are, who we should be. Remind us, I pray. Speak to us this morning through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When it comes to Christianity and patriotism, do you ever feel a little bit awkward? Do you ever wonder just exactly how far should we go? We want to be patriotic. We want to honor our country. But we know that our first calling is to make sure that we honor and glorify God. I forget when it was. It was quite some time ago, and you may have been here that particular Sunday morning, but I happened to notice that the Christian flag was higher than the American flag. And that particular morning, I went over and I lowered the Christian flag so that it was the same height as the American flag. And when I did that, some of you started to applaud. Because I mentioned that the Christian flag is never supposed to be higher than the American flag. No flag is ever supposed to be higher than the American flag. But if you remember, I told you to stop applauding. And if you remember what I said that it may come a time when we as Christians have to have more allegiance to the Christian flag than to the American flag. Lifeway Research just did a survey. I can't look over there either. Lifeway did a survey, and they found that Protestant pastors believe that 53% of Protestant pastors believe that their congregation loves America more than it loves God. And if that be true, that's a dangerous thing. Because we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, and anything that is placed above him would then become idolatry. So we're in this balancing act. It's a bit difficult. You know, there are times when I can stick out my chest and wear my flag on my tie and say, I am proud to be an American. When I think about the freedoms that we have and where we stand as a country and the greatness that God has given to us, I can say, I am proud to be an American. But then when I begin to look at the number of babies that are killed every day in this land before they're born, I'm not so proud to be an American. I'm a bit ashamed to be an American that claims to be a Christian nation, that claims to be based on Christian morals and Christian ethics, and yet we will slaughter the unborn and never give it a thought. When I come into a building like this, and to know that we have freedom, that this country allows us to be able to gather together and to be able to come together and worship God without any fears, I am proud to be an American. I have been in countries, and we'll look at some countries here in a moment, where people do not have that freedom. And then when I look around and see the vast amount of individuals who no longer regard the family as top priority. You walk through the inner cities and you see what's happening, but it's not even just the inner cities, it's everywhere. And there are times when I'm not so proud to be an American. And so there's this balancing act of how do we balance this out? How can we be citizens that are certainly patriotic and bring honor and glory to our God as being chief citizens? And we'll see that's a priority for us. But then to be the man or the woman that God has called me to be a light in the midst of darkness, it's a balancing act. You see, the moment that I come to know Christ as my Savior, and the moment you became a Christian, then this is no longer your home. You are a stranger passing through this life. Your citizenship is now in heaven, and that is where your allegiance stands the strongest. Yes, we are still Americans, or wherever, whatever country we may be living in. But the moment I come to know Christ, I changed citizenship. This is no longer my home. I'm just a stranger passing through. I think Paul felt that a little bit, that balancing act. Because he knew that this wasn't his home. And writing to the church at Philippi, and he's in jail and suffering for his preaching of the gospel. I think he's torn a little bit about this. You know, I'm here, but I would like to be there. And he says, for I am pressed between two, having a desire to part and to be with Christ, which is far better. See, the moment I become a Christian, then my loyalty is first and foremost to my Savior, to the God who redeemed me of my sins. And I long one day to be there, and that's where Paul is at. And he longs for that. As I said, there are some countries around the world that don't have the freedoms that we have, and we live in a great country. You notice the United States of America up there is white. There is a little persecution here, but nothing. I have been in some of those other countries, the high and very high and one extreme. I have been in some of those countries, and I understand what great freedoms that we have as Americans, and we ought to be proud of that and thankful for that. But the moment my patriotism becomes so extreme, it can be idolatry, particularly if one's love for his country is greater than his love for God and God's plan of redeeming people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. So how do we balance this? Well, ASP. As soon as possible? No, that's not what I've got here. All right? I'm going to give you this little acronym to help you to balance this out, that we might be the citizens that we need to be, and at the same time, be the light that God has called us to be in the country in which he has planted us. So first, allegiance. I'm going to make you take your Bibles this morning and turn, all right? The book of Matthew 22, Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, allegiance. Now, I know the American flag, our pledge is, I pledge allegiance to the United States. However, there's nothing wrong with that. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. There's nothing wrong with that. But my first allegiance as a believer, my first allegiance is to God. And so that's something I have to settle in my heart, settle in my mind. And this is the strange thing. As we're going to see as we go through this, if you get this right, you will be the best citizen this country has ever had. It's kind of like when God tells the husband, love your wife with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love your wife as Christ loved the church, but she doesn't deserve it. No, you love her, and you'll be the best husband there ever was. Your response isn't how she responds to you. Same way with the wife. When God says to the wife, you are to be submissive to your husband in all things, well, he doesn't deserve my submission. You ought to see the guy I live with. It doesn't matter. If you do what God has called you to be, you're going to be the greatest wife he's ever had. Same way with Christians. When God says, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, if you do that, you will be the best citizen this country has ever had. One of the best. So our allegiance, first and foremost, is to God and to the Scriptures. But then there's submission. Romans. A couple of passages here I want you to see. Romans 13 is one of those popular ones that we go to and we can shake our head in agreement with, but oftentimes we don't follow through. Paul was living at a time when the government was really, really bad. Paul was living at a time when Rome was in control. The Jews hated this power that was over them. They had longed for redemption. They had longed for the Messiah to come and deliver them. Rome was a monster. And even though Rome is a monster, Paul, now as a believer in Christ, writes to the church at Rome and reminds them of the responsibility that we have as believers. In verse 1 of chapter 13, Paul says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror of good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have the praise of the same. For he, this authority, governing authority, is God's minister, could be deacon, to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath to him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes with a smile on your face. It doesn't say that, but all right. For this reason, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I have trouble with that. So do you. And you know why I have trouble with that? I'm a sinner. I don't like authority. I don't like anybody looking over my shoulder and telling me what I must do and what I can't do. Anybody else like that? Oh, I'm the only one. Remember this misfit of liars and thieves? And Paul is living in a time when the government is not like ours. He's living in a time when the government is a monster. And nevertheless, he reminds us that there is no governing authorities that happen to just be there. He is a sovereign God, and he's in control of everything. And with his sovereign hand, he is able to raise up a godly government, and he is also able to raise up an ungodly government. And you would say, why in the world would the supreme God, who is able to do all things and in control of all things, why would he ever allow an ungodly government to come into play? Well, read your Bible. In the Old Testament, he would raise up ungodly governments to judge Israel and Judah because they had forsaken him. And he would raise up this ungodly government to come in and attack them and take them off into captivity to bring them back on their knees. And so a guy like Nebuchadnezzar can be God's deacon, his minister to accomplish what he desires. So here we are living in the United States of America, and we certainly know what happens with politics. We can go from one extreme to another, can't we? And this is one of those areas where I'm proud to be an American, that we're able to vote for our leadership. But when I listen to the media and I hear the bickering and the fighting and the mud being slung from both sides, I am not so proud to be an American. But what this passage is reminding us of is that regardless of who is in authority, it is God's plan. And that's where we have to be careful. The balancing act. We have rights and privileges of citizens of the United States, and we need to take care of them. We have the privilege to vote, and we are to vote. But when votes don't turn out as we wanted them to, we have to be careful how we respond to the government that exists. And so Paul says, well, you submit to them. You don't like them, submit to them. Sometimes your wife doesn't like you, but she submits to you. And so Paul says that's what we're supposed to be. Let every soul be subject. But then 1 Peter 2, Paul and Peter are right in line here. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13, Peter writes, therefore, but look at verse 11 first. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, this isn't your home, this isn't where you belong. But nevertheless, verse 13, therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Verse 15, for this is what? This is what? You ever wonder what the will of God is? His will is for us to submit to the governing authorities, to obey every ordinance of man. Ooh, I don't like that. Do you wrestle with this? Oh, you don't? You're always 1 mile below the speed limit, right? And if you haul hay, it's always under the weight limit. Or anything, haul anything. I'm dealing with something right now. My mother-in-law wants to come live with me. You're jumping to conclusions. Brenda's mom is thinking of coming to stay with us, and so I'm thinking of turning my garage into an apartment. Now, I know I'm supposed to go get a building permit. I don't want to go get a building permit. And I've talked to some of you and said, don't worry about getting a building permit. But I know that the newspaper would look awful funny if it said, preacher at Central Chapel in prison because he didn't get a building permit. Yeah, I think some of the ordinances of man are overboard. I really do. I hate them. And yet, what has God called me to be? He's called me to be a citizen that plays by the rules so that his light might shine in the midst of darkness. One of the things that we are called to be is a people above reproach. That's hard. That's hard when you live with government that seems to be oppressive and seems to be overly happy to tax and willing to put such regulations upon us. It's hard. I fight with that. I struggle with that. And sometimes I don't abide. Just ask my kids. They've probably never seen the speedometer 1 mile below the posted speed limit. But we do. We struggle, don't we? We struggle. And my theme song for this is Was it the Beretta song? The movie, the TV show, Don't Do the Crime Unless You're Willing to Pay the Time, something like that. What Peter says, same thing that Paul says. He says, you're just sojourners, you're pilgrims passing through this. But while you're passing through, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him. Of course, Peter here is referring to the government and all those, but Paul made it very clear that God is the one that's in control. And Peter reminds us that it is God's will that we live such lives. So, our allegiance first and foremost is to God. We love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. But the second responsibility that we have as believers in our country is to be submissive to those who are in authority. And then prayer. 1 Timothy. Back up a little bit. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1, Paul again writing. He says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All men. For kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, Paul puts on another little slant here. One of the reasons why we are to be the submissive citizens that we are called to be, that why this is God's will, and why this is good and acceptable to God, is the reason is he wants all to be saved. And if you're a troublemaker, then there is no governing authority that's going to have much respect for the God whom you say you serve. And if we would pray half as much as we complain, maybe we would have a greater impact in the culture, in the country, and on the government. Now, has there ever been a time when God's people had to be disobedient to the governing authorities? Yes. Yes. But every time they had to be disobedient to the governing authorities, they were not disrespectful. They were willing to accept the punishment. And they did it with an attitude that was respectful. Not all of them were believers. How about the Hebrew midwives? Remember what Pharaoh said? You take those Jewish boys and you kill them. Well, the Hebrew midwives respected the God of the Hebrews more than Pharaoh. Moses. We're told in the book of Hebrews that Moses would rather suffer the reproach with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt. And so Moses had to go against Pharaoh. And even when he went against Pharaoh and asked the people to be released, I think Moses' heart really did long for these Egyptian people to melt. I really believe that deep down in Moses' heart, he did not necessarily want to see all of this happen to the Egyptians. But he did what God had called him to do. He had to disobey, but he wasn't disrespectful. Obadiah, rescued prophets when Jezebel was ordering them to be killed. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You remember when they were found in an ungodly government and when they were told that they couldn't worship their God, they couldn't pray to their God? Do you remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said when the king said, look, if you don't bow down and worship this statue, then I am going to throw you into the furnace? Do you remember what they said? They said, oh, king, live forever. That's your choice. If you need to throw us into the fiery furnace, That's okay with us. But we will not bow down. We will not bow down. They disobeyed, but they were respectful. Remember what happened when Daniel did this? And when the king had to throw him into the lion's den? Do you remember the king? Do you remember what he was wrestling with? He knew Daniel. He knew Daniel's heart. He knew Daniel was not some disloyal, troublemaking citizen. He knew Daniel. But because of his law, he had to throw Daniel into the lion's den. But where did he go the next morning? He ran right down there hoping what? That his chief citizen was still alive. You see, Daniel had a testimony. I didn't touch on Joseph. Well, we could go back to Joseph and his situation in Egypt. There's a day coming. We won't be here, but there's a day coming when Antichrist will be in rule. And we're told that those individuals at that time have to make a choice. They're either going to serve God or they're going to serve the Antichrist. And those who do not take the Antichrist mark will be put to death. But those believers at that time will have to just take that stand. And I believe that what we read here in Romans and in Peter and in 1 Timothy will be true then. That even though he is the Antichrist, that doesn't give them the right to be disrespectful. And so I think God's principle is something that he established from the very beginning and continues even till now. So we are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that gives light to all who are in the house. And then Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. So how do we balance this? Go back to that. How do we balance this? First and foremost, if you will put God first and foremost in your mind and heart, where you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you take his word and you hide it in your heart that you might not sin against him, and if you live by the principles here, you will be one of the greatest citizens this country has ever known. Did you catch that? So by my being loyal and my allegiance to God doesn't make me become disloyal to the country in which I live. Because if I live by his principles, I will be one of the greatest citizens that ever. And I think you would all agree with me that what we're benefiting from, our forefathers, was built on a number of individuals who had respect and love for God. It's what shaped our country. So our allegiance, first and foremost, is to God. Second, we are to be submissive citizens. Submissive to some of the ridiculous things that they put into part and play. Some of the laws they pass. But then, to pray. To pray that even ungodly government can be touched and changed. Did Daniel see that? Did Daniel see an ungodly king learn that there is only one God? Yes, he did. Daniel saw what God could do to a king and bring him to his knees to where he would worship the holy. Pray for your governing leaders. And I know some of you are far more happy with the leader that we have now than who we previously had. I am too. But that doesn't mean we pray more for one and less for the other. It is God's will that all men would be saved. Maybe there are those that we ought to pray more, which we would tend to have a tendency to pray less for. But if you want to be a great citizen and you want to be patriotic, that's the way to go. You know, Tuesday night, I was with some family up in Michigan, and we were sitting watching the fireworks that were supposed to start at 10:15. It didn't start until 10:45. But as the fireworks were going off and the beauty of all of that and hearing the grandkids, I got them all geared up ahead of time. I said, now when they start to go off, you got to go, ooh. And so when the neighbors were, you know, throwing off their little ones, we were practicing. And so while we're watching the fireworks, I'm proud to be an American. Then last night, when I'm trying to go to sleep and the neighbors are shooting off their it's a balance. But God has called us to be balanced individuals. We live in a great country. Be the citizens that cause our country, no matter how dark it becomes, to see light. And they see light through you and me. Through you and me. And the way we live our lives as Christians, and the respect that we have for governing authorities, and the time that we spend in prayer can impact a great deal. Does our country just need new governing leaders? I don't know that that's the answer. Our country needs God. And the only way that our country is going to see God is through us. Us living His word out before them, that they may desire to have what we have. Let's pray. Father, I would ask that you would help us. We fail here. We tend to be like leaves on a tree that just get pushed by the wind every direction at times. There are times when we are very proud to be Americans, and then there are times when we're a bit ashamed of what's happening. There are times when we feel compelled to pray for our leaders, and then there are times when we allow our feelings to overrule what we know to be true. Oh, forgive us. This country needs you. This country needs a revival. But if we are not living the lives that you've called us to live, that we are shining testimonies in the midst of this land, how would they ever? Oh, I know, Lord, you can do it in spite of us. But we would ask that you would do it through us, that we would become the people that you've called us to be, that we would be the light in the midst of the darkness, and that we would shine. And Father, help us to stop taking these freedoms that we have for granted. We have no guarantee of what tomorrow will bring. But regardless of what tomorrow may bring, our responsibility is the same. And I would ask that you would help us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.